Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line normally. Our current adventure is Mask of the Pirate Queen, and this is Act 2, Episode 7A. And I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
I'm Brandon, and I'll be playing K3.
I'm Christine, and I will be playing K1.
And I'm Leslie, and I will be playing 3B.
To learn more about our characters, we get one hero to ask another a question. Today, we will get K1 to ask.
3B, what inspires you the most? I see. Maybe my translation matrix needs a little adjustment. 3B, can you say something else? Is this any better?
Can you understand me more clearly now?
Yes, that's much better.
Fortuitous. Let us continue.
Okay, I know this is not going to help anybody, but in my brain, 3B is now voiced by Michael Dorn.
Oh my god!
That is kind of perfect.
Okay, I'll remember that. So Christine just...
I will contact
make Leslie
them.
Sound like Michael Dorn in post.
Yeah, I...
just deepen it.
Okay, just like minus 30 pitch.
Yeah, or like call Michael Dorn
yeah.
or something.
It's okay, we're bros, well, you know.
Yeah, I'll... what... Uh-huh. What's he even doing these days?
He was Rufus in the Kim Possible movie, so.
The camera slowly comes up the landing ramp, taking a turn and going to the left. We find Vreebo and K1 talking late at night after everyone in the ship has turned in, getting the latest updates on the crew's exploits while 3B and Vreebo have stayed around making sure that the ship stays being the ship. Oh my, that sounds so intense. And you say Illyn was being a sniper?
Yeah, they volunteered to climb up this, well, with Billy's help, it's like trash heap, and were picking off various beings. It was very gruesome. But did you know Billy can fly now?
Wait, what? Billy can fly?
Yes, much, much higher than myself or any of the other droids.
That's impressive. I didn't know that. Huh.
And Barrowin stole a train.
Wait, what? Barrowin? You mean Captain Barrowin stole a train?
Yes.
That doesn't sound plausible.
It happened by herself, too.
Wow. One of these days, I gotta go on one of these adventures with all y'all.
Well, I'm sure things are pretty exciting back here. Now, what happened to you today, Vreebo, while we were gone?
There wasn't all that much. I mean, it was just 3B and I. Well, there was that droid that came around again, but they just seemed to want to chat. And they're a very peculiar droid, always prefacing themselves with what they're saying or their intent before they say it. It's a very interesting way of talking, but I have not seen many droids like that. At least not ones that are free. Talking to any security droids, yeah, well, they're always like that. Like, it's always like, stop, don't go there, or stuff like that. But seeing a free droid, that's odd.
So this wasn't the same security droid that try to contract the ship before?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It was the same one.
Oh.
J-12, I believe.
Maybe they're just lonely.
That too. I mean, being the only one of your kind anywhere. I mean, that's kind of what 3B and I usually end up talking about while we're in the cockpit.
And does 3B answer you?
Oh, no, not normally, but whenever I look over, 3B looks like they understand what I'm saying. Or at least are looking at me because I'm talking or something like that. I don't know.
Hmm. Speaking of, where is 3B?
I left 3B with Billy. Like, Billy's always so protective of 3B when Billy gets home. I don't want to get in Billy's way.
That makes sense, Rebo.
And it's at this particular time, I'm figuring that there's going to be a large crash that happens towards the back of the ship.
What was that?
Oh no. Should I go wake up everyone? Or
No. What if it's something minor? Maybe not a womp rat because they're huge, but maybe some little piece of little vermin got inside of the ship. Maybe you should go check it out, Rebo.
Okay.
K1 has scooted back a little bit on her repulsors, making sure she's not in the doorway any longer.
Where would K6 and K7 be at this point? Just out of random curiosity.
They can be wherever we need them to be, but if you are trying to get a stock answer, then it would probably be in Cav's workshop, because that would give that seems like a good place for the droids to recharge, because there's a lot more space there.
Okay, that makes sense. And, well, yeah, the noise kind of was off in the direction of Cav's workshop / the engine room, which I'm figuring it's pretty close to as well.
I'll be right behind you, Rebo.
And there's Rebo just sort of out in front, their custom blaster out, sort of trying to sneak around. And it's like, wait, but who's there? Opening the door, flicking on the light, and it looks like just parts all over the floor. Looks like a couple of trays have been completely upset, and now just there are parts all over the floor of the engine room, as opposed to how they're normally put aside.
Engine room or workshop?
Engine room. I'm figuring that in this ship, one door is Cav's workshop, the next door over is the engine room.
That makes sense.
And I'm assuming that the door to Cav's workshop is open, because the rest of the droids
are in there. While we're floating out here, could I make a investigation check to see if I might recognize anything about what could have done this?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, listeners, we are using the Tales from the Loop system for today's adventure. K1 is not trained in investigation. She does, however, have a mind of 5. I got so the way this system works is 6s are successes, and I managed to roll 2 of them, so that's 2 successes, which is honestly quite a lot for the system. Not bad for the original Danger Ball.
K1's not Danger Ball.
Oh,
you have to have a gun to have to be Danger Ball.
Yeah,
I feel like K1 is the
but you called K4 and 5 Danger Balls. They're not armed.
Well, that's because I can't tell if they're K6 or not.
K6 is yellow.
It's better to just assume that they're all Danger Ball.
Because K6 could have accidentally been dipped in paint.
So, having succeeded on an investigation check, you get to ask two of the following questions. The first one I'm going to ask is, what has happened here?
It looks like there was something roughly cat size, like, sort of like chubby cat size that has been hopping around. You can see that, and you're able to tell that the movement pattern doesn't look like a bunny. It looks more cat-ish. As things have gone from one place to the other, as trays have been upset, it looks like some being has been climbing up the shelves and the work trolleys and whatnot, and have like as they're pushing off, the trays have gone skittering and gone clanging to the floor, upsetting all the stuff that was on it, spreading it all across the floor.
K1's second question, because she is K1, is what threats can I perceive here?
I mean, it's an engine room, so like, you do have the engine core, reactor core, whatever they're using to get power while they're on the ground. There's that. Otherwise, most of the engines have been turned off. Like, I'm assuming it's like the sublight engines are idling or something along that lines that is keeping the power flowing, or they're working off of batteries. But otherwise, like, the engines have been powered down. There are a lot of tools that have been scattered around the floor, but threats for K1? Even with the flicking on the lights, it doesn't look like there's anything really there.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of cranny, like, there's a lot of holes and whatnot that something K1 size or smaller could get into, but there's nothing visible.
Rebo, I think something's inside of the ship.
That's not good. Can you see anything?
K1 whips her head, which is really her whole body, back and forth looking around the room.
No. Let me just check on the other droids real quick.
And she'll move a little bit past and try to just like poke her photoceptor around the corner into the workshop.
To which you only see K3. The rest of the Ks are not there.
Freebo!
K1 is going to float over towards K3 and start checking her over for damage and trying to get her online if she's not.
I'm assuming
she's probably in sleep mode.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Getting a computer out of sleep mode is the worst.
Yep. I just have to restart her several times.
Force reboot. Get that little pokey thing to put it in the reset.
K3, wake up.
Hello, K1.
Are you okay? Are you damaged?
One moment while I complete a full diagnostic.
During this time, K1's photoceptor, like, blinks off and back on, just waiting patiently.
Diagnostic complete. I am unharmed.
By this point, Freebo's just sort of leaning over K3. Nose, like, 2 inches away.
The rest of them are gone.
Yes.
Did you see where any of them went?
No. I was in sleep mode.
Did you hear anything?
No. I was in sleep mode.
So I think we as the audience probably what K3 is beeping and K1 is translating.
I'm generally assuming that, yeah. I'm assuming that since Rebo's there, K1's translating so that Rebo can understand.
Yes.
It's the ramp down?
And Freebo will stand up straight, give a thoughtful look, raise his left hand with a suckered finger at the top, pointing up, open his tiny mouth as much as a Rodian can, and then scurries off to the landing ramp to find out if it's open or not.
K3, we should stick together until we know what's happening here.
Is there a situation?
Yes, all of the other droids are missing, and something got inside of the ship.
There are many somethings in the ship.
No, something that doesn't belong here. You don't need to be that literal.
This information conflicts with my existing databanks.
I mean, it could be a Minok or something, which they feed on power, you know. Maybe it was looking for a snack. Or it could be a Lothcat. They like to play with droids until they fall apart. Or something even scarier.
Well, surely the Maker will protect us.
Ilan is currently asleep.
K1.
Yes, K3.
May I suggest a course of action?
Of course.
That involves waking up the Maker so that they can fix everything.
I mean, we could.
That is the only solution to problems I have ever encountered, and it's worked pretty well so far. For instance, do you recall that time that the Maker fell out of a starship? And... oh, actually, the Maker didn't fix that, did they?
That's a good point. We should do this ourselves. Come on!
start following after Rebo.
Yeah, and I can just sort of imagine this mechanical spidery sound after K3 has jumped down and is trekking along on the ground.
Yeah, I suspect K3 probably will almost always be climbing on a wall or something rather than on the floor, just because...
I mean, it's dangerous down there. You might get stepped on.
Why else have spider legs?
I don't know, Christine. Why else have spider legs?
To clamp onto Cav's arm, that's why. Look, I never said it was a glamorous existence.
As everyone gets to the ramp, there's Rebo with their hand on the switch, raising the landing ramp and closing the internal door, because there's the two of them. And it's like, oh no, oh, this isn't good. Someone could have gotten on.
Or taken the droids off.
That's worse. And this is when I'm figuring 3B is going to hop out into sight.
Is Rebo hanging out with K1 at this point?
We are all together.
Okay. 3B will appear, twitching nose, ears flickering, but not say anything because, you know, Rebo's there and covers to maintain. He looks up at K1 floating and over at K3 and over at Vrebo. So he hops over onto Vrebo's foot and waits to be picked up.
And Vrebo reach down and pick up 3B in one arm, like in there, because, okay, Vrebo's right-handed, so we'll pick up 3B in his left arm and sort of cradled in there as he's just sort of stroking 3B's head. It's like, did you see anything?
3B will look up, cock his head adorably and inquisitively and kind of waggle his ears, and then look over at K1 like, what should I have seen?
All of the droids are missing, 3B.
I'm not.
All of the droids except for myself and K3, and presumably Billy, are missing.
3B nods, like, good, because that's not good if Billy is missing. He nestles into Vrebo comfortingly. Would I have seen anything? Should I make an investigation roll myself?
That would definitely work, yes.
When you say see, do you mean sensed in the Force?
No, when I say see, I mean see, currently.
Right. Wink.
It'll be equal to your mind. And I will remind, at least for your benefit, you and Brandon do have luck points if you don't like what you roll, so you can...
I got and success.
And that's what you need, probably.
I'm thinking that while 3B was doing whatever 3B was doing, because, well, apparently they were bored too, they may not have actually seen exactly what was here, but they did see a small furry being get onto the ship, up the ramp, and proceeded that, yeah, a small furry being get onto the ship that isn't normally on the ship. That, yes, they did see possibly something like a toot cat get onto the ship.
Well, K1 is significantly concerned, correct? I mean, that's not unusual, but...
Yeah.
I mean, when isn't K1 severely concerned?
Is K1 doing her twitchy kind of looking around at everything, kind of like not quite freaking out, but basically freaking out?
Yes. She also, her little like manipulator claws are both in front of her, almost like rubbing together, like nervously.
So 3B will say,
has something occurred? I did see something enter the ship.
What did you see? Was it big? Did it have fangs?
3B kind of does that thing where bunnies kind of rub their face on their chest, you know, kind of like, dude, I'm tiny. How am I supposed to know if it's big? But,
I believe it was larger than I was.
Was that big? We're doomed!
K1?
Yes?
You're larger than I am.
That's beside the point.
I would like to add that Vrebo is larger than you by several times. We are not necessarily doomed.
During this entire point, Vrebo's just staring at 3B.
Forgive me for my deception, Vribo, but desperate times.
I understand, I think.
Hello, 3B. It is I, K3.
Greetings.
I have processed the information you provided and was able to eliminate approximately 73 billion possible forms of life from the description that you provided. That merely leaves 938 trillion forms of life known in the galaxy. So we are narrowing it down.
I suppose this is what I get for making a literal computer droid.
You could also examine the possibility of eliminating creatures that do not breathe this atmosphere. Minox, for instance.
But Minox can survive in a vacuum.
We're not in a vacuum.
Doesn't mean they can't survive outside of a vacuum, 3B.
K1.
Yes.
I can't tell you to breathe.
Can't tell Illin that either.
K1.
Yes.
Process. Slowly.
Okay. We need to search the ship and find this thing, and then Freebo needs to usher it off of the ship.
Okay. So now that the gang's together, and Vribo apparently is the movement mule for everyone.
I mean, I can move on my own, but this is dead convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're clearly going to have a chase scene in the middle of the ship at some point, right? Where it's just like 3B's jumping around, like bounding off of things, and K3 is like climbing up stuff and around stuff and so forth, and K1 is just kind of floating around in all the different directions in a panic.
Frantically hovering.
I hope we just have like a Scooby-Doo scene where we're running somehow into one set of quarters and popping out another in the main hallway.
Yeah. And then at some point we're just like running in apparently a straight line through this not actually very big ship for just an extended period
of time.
Well,
that's the beautiful thing about being so tiny is it is a very big ship for us. 3B's,
that is true.
3B's going to look over at K1.
What precipitated this concern?
All of the droids are missing, and there is a big mess in the engine room.
I am not missing.
Neither is yourself. Do you not have communications with them?
Oh, I do. I didn't think of that.
Freebie shares a kind of deadpan look with Vribo.
Vribo will shrug.
How does a rabbit give a deadpan look?
Very carefully.
And I guess I know how Judy Hopps gives a deadpan look, so that's pretty close.
I guess K1 is going to try to send a like wake-up signal over her comlink to the comlinks of K4, 5, 6, and 7.
Okay.
It can just fail.
Interference.
Yeah.
Not connected to the ship's Wi-Fi.
They're on privacy mode.
We were just making a joke about how computers are hard to come out of, bring out of sleep, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of going with that.
It's the kid equivalent of 5 more minutes, Mom.
Pretty much. You know that they aren't there. As K1 attempts to contact them, like, I'm kind of assuming that's just sort of a broadcast to all the Ks, and, like, K3 gets it.
Hello.
But you don't get anywhere back from any of the other Ks. Though, very shortly after, you hear what sounds like a stun bolt gets shot out from the engineering room.
Ears up. Swivel.
Okay, now we should wake up Ellen.
Would that not possibly be one of the other Ks?
Oh, right, they have a stun setting, too. Maybe? I guess we should take a look, right? Right, yes, we should take a look.
I shall investigate.
K3 investigates.
Alright, after getting there, it looks like as you round the curve to getting to the engineering room, because I'm figuring YT-style engine, or YT-style hallway.
Yeah, I assume the interior looks pretty much stylistically similar to the Falcon.
Yeah, I'm just sort of figuring that there's the racetrack circle going through that you can just run around. Do the entire Scooby-Doo thing. Just in a circle. And then not figuring out that... Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
it's not the Scooby-Doo thing if it's actually in a circle.
Oh, sure.
It is if you don't actually change the camera. Just keep running past it.
Exactly. Then we're like 1960s cartoons. So when you get there, you see a bunch of tools that K1 and Vreebo had seen in the engine room, but still on the floor, now skittered across the hallway.
This is a mess.
Okay, saying I didn't entirely process what you just said, so say it again.
So K1 and Vreebo had seen the entire floor of the engineering room covered in tools and pieces of equipment and like the Illin's nut jar just completely strewn across the floor. They're a tech. They've got like a jar of screws and a jar of nuts and bolts that just random extra things like you get from IKEA or something. Now they're just sort of strewn across the floor.
Allen wrenches. There's a million Allen wrenches.
Everywhere.
So some of that that had been on the floor in the engine room is now strewn across the hallway. It looks like it's been shoved or ejected from the engine room. And you can even see a hydro spanner that somehow caught something on the interior wall and is now just sort of hanging there on a half ledge. Like it just somehow was able to hook onto a bolt.
It's just hanging there swinging slightly.
This is unusually messy, even for Illin.
Hey! Yeah, they probably deserve it.
There's no evidence that the Maker has been awake since our conversation began.
So it must be the intruder. And now it's armed.
Or it was one of the Ks dealing with the intruder.
But they didn't respond to comms.
I'm willing to say that is concerning, but not condemning.
Is there any, I know we don't exactly, well, 3B has a nose. I know the droids don't exactly have noses, but is there any, like, the ozone in the air, like, where the blaster was discharged? Can we try to pinpoint where that happened?
It doesn't look like it happened here. Like, it doesn't smell like it. As Vreebo and 3B and maybe K1, I'm just sort of figuring that everyone is just sort of doing the classic sort of Scooby-Doo lean out over the door jamb.
But you would have to hold me.
No, I mean, Rebo's still holding 3B.
3B's on top of Rebo's head now.
Lean out over.
Yes.
There's K1 above 3B, and not quite sure where K3 is.
On the wall.
On the ceiling.
Oh, on the ceiling.
Upside down.
Yeah, just sort of looking down, upside down. And inside, you can see this. Now, it looks like a clear path going from the right-hand side to about halfway to the engine door. And you can see, actually, four paws of grease that then jump up, and then somehow go into the... look to somehow scramble onto the upper access ladder, and then the trail gets lost.
Mm. K1?
Yes?
I dare say we can now exclude Minox from our suspect list.
Maybe it's something quadruped and a Minox.
There are no known quadrupedal subspecies of Minox.
Thank you, K3.
K1's going to float over to the access ladder. Very, very cautiously try to poke her ball head / body up to look inside.
I'm assuming like the glow rod's on is K1's looking up.
Just setting yourself up for a jump scare.
I mean, K1 is the right person for it.
What I'm figuring is I kind of want to get a move check off of K1.
Okay. Well, K1's body is a mighty 2, and her move is 1, so she's going to roll 3 dice.
Have we mentioned, like, what difficulties are in this system?
I don't think we've really talked mechanics at all.
I don't think so. So you're referring to the fact that normally it's just you just need a success.
Right. You alluded to earlier that it's a dice pool of D6s, and each die that rolls a 6 is a success.
And you get a quantity based on your attribute and your skill by adding them together.
And generally speaking, 1 success is good enough for most things. 2 successes is like pretty exceptional. And three successes is basically where it tops off. That's for doing really, really tremendously impressive or unlikely feats. Although that is all modulated with the basic assumption that the player characters are kids between 10 and 15.
I mean, fair. I mean, that is also the entire reason why I was seriously considering doing Grimm instead. Because, like, same target character age group.
So anyway, that's what the numbers of successes we get mean.
Yes. And also, just for the sake of the listeners, K1 is built as a, like, 15-year-old kid, so on the higher end of things. So lots of attributes, and she has nothing of a resource called luck that allows you to reroll. And the other two are built as, 10-year-olds. So they have fewer attributes, but a lot of luck to their names. So speaking of being lucky, though, D1 has apparently decided, well, with narrative dice, it hates us. With the D6s, it loves us, because with my three dice, I manage a success.
So as K1 is looking up, I'm figuring, like, the glow rod is giving a pretty solid circle, especially this close in. Travels up, and then looking up, you can see this purple cat-like being that then scrambles for a moment on the top rung and loses purchase. And they come falling down. K1 is able to dodge out of the way. And
she shrieks anyway.
And the cat-like being lands on their feet and then runs off into a low cubby on the engine block going left. So as they're jumping around stuff, as they're just trying to move, and it looks like previously they had stepped in some grease, so they're not getting great purchase. Everything that they're trying to step on is getting flung backwards. So, and then it's down. Rebo just sort of gives a yeep as they're surprised, and it's bolted off into one of the access cubbies, one of the Lucas tubes.
Wouldn't they more likely be like Macquarie tubes or something?
Yeah, sure.
K1.
Yes, 3B.
Are you well?
Well, I'm incapable of having a heart attack, but I fear a few of my servos are fried from that experience.
I guess a few of my circuits are fried from that experience. Can't fry a servo, K1. Come on.
K1, you're speaking gibberish. Pause. Reboot your glossary.
You try knowing 3 million forms of communication. Keeping it straight. Okay. I'm fine.
3B, hello. It is I, K3.
Good evening, K3. How may I be of assistance?
I've calculated that it is a 99.7% probability that felinoid is the intruder.
This meshes well with my theory. Also, it is not a Minock.
Correct.
I have an idea.
K1 is going to float back towards the in the direction of the cargo bay. Do we have any cargo netting around from when brought things aboard?
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
How do you think Cav decorates?
She's going to snap off detached some of this netting and start dragging it back behind her towards the group.
And Freebo's going to come over and actually pick it up. It's like, what are we doing with this?
We need to catch it. The cat.
Perhaps we should first locate it once more.
Well, but now when we locate it, we can do something about it, besides just being scared of it, right?
I concur.
Though I must admit I felt no particular concern. Let us search for the creature, that we may remove it from our presence.
Yes. Yes.
All right, 3B's going to hop towards the Macquarie tube?
Yes.
In question. Quietly. Right. Quietly.
K1 will start to lower herself until she's almost touching the ground so she can float into the Macquarie tube after 3B.
K3 will also be there.
On the ceiling?
Yeah, just kind of somewhere. If the tube is circular, presumably it'll just be on the interior and some angle.
I'm figuring more square-ish.
Okay.
Like ventilation tube.
Rhomboid.
Yeah, they're just slanted for some reason.
Because it looks cool. All right, I'm guessing there's no lighting, really.
Well, there is lighting coming behind you in the form of K1.
Yeah. Makes it harder to sneak, but let us move forward.
I can turn it off if it's better.
Is there, like, running lights? Just like a little strip of LEDs every few feet?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like, it's not much, because you don't really want to waste a huge amount of power on it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those things of, it does have always-on lighting going through there. So yeah, like every foot or so, it's got a light that, it's not particularly bright, but it's enough that you can see things.
Then 3B will just kind of nod shortly at K1 to extinguish the glow rod.
You! And she'll just, like, turn it off.
Now we must focus on the hunt.
Creeping, creeping. Cute little fluffy tail. Is it a straight line, or does it curve?
I'm figuring that it's very old-school Trek-ish when we're talking about tubes. They aren't really in a straight line. It's they're going around every piece of equipment, and it is trying to get to places. Like, yeah, they try and keep them in a bit of a straight line, but it's like straight in for a bit, then has to turn because it's going close to the outer hull, and then comes back in as you're going. You can hear Billy recharging, and then a little bit further, and you can hear Ilan chattering with their mandibles.
It's a noisy sleeper.
It's not like they can snore, but they try.
Now, 3B spends a lot of time wandering the ship. More time than most people might actually suspect. So I imagine 3B's been through the tubes fairly regularly. Is there anything out of the ordinary aside from paw prints as we go forward?
Currently, no, there is not. Like, you do see, for the first bit, you see the greasy paw prints, and then they're very quickly, by the time you get to, say, Billy's charging area or Billy's room, they're gone. And it's just, you know that the cat has to have gone through here, but on account of there's forward and then there's back. So
yeah, there's no way, like, there's not like an open hatch into any of the other rooms.
Well, yeah, like there is grating going off into every other room, but so far, at least going into Billy's and Ilan's, there is not.
Is Vrebo following behind us?
No.
Okay.
It's Vrebo doesn't think that there's enough room for Vrebo and the netting.
Okay. So 3B is currently planning on either discussing things with the creature or scaring it back toward the netting.
Okay.
I'm very interested to find how this creature made its way onto the ship without being discovered at any particular point.
Well, the ramp was down.
Why was the ramp down?
Don't know. Maybe that's standard procedure? Maybe somebody forgot to raise it? Who was the last person aboard?
Then all photoreceptors turn at Ilan.
Which K3 is obviously computer droid. Is K3 also the spider droid, like the spider whippy tail thing droid?
Yes. Okay. K3 is the droid not like all of the other droids.
One of these droids is not like the other?
Yeah. K3 is also the pilot and has a lot of weird skills compared to the other ones.
Fair enough. 3B is going to call K3 forward.
Hello, 3B. It is I.
Good. Hello, K3.
K3.
Yes, as you have previously mentioned. Perhaps you would like to apply your intellect as we progress for logical outcomes of this creature's presence.
I would. What scenarios would you like me to calculate?
3B kind of casts a very cautious glance over the shoulder at K1 and then leans in and very quietly says,
hostile resistance.
And then K3 probably says quite loudly,
the probability of hostile resistance is approximately 83%.
Wait, what?
Most felinoid species do have certain defensive capabilities.
Aww.
Many of them are predators.
Predators?
And thus by nature have fangs, claws, poison spines.
I was waiting for some sort of...
prehensile tongues.
What?
The ability to stun you with the force.
Hmm.
Excuse me?
Claws.
You said claws
bone
twice.
Spurs. Talons.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough assessment, K3. Quite enough.
What would you say that your weakness against bone spurs is?
Christine, how reinforced are the case?
Here's the unfortunate thing. I think K3 is the squishiest. Because I know K3 doesn't have any armor.
Oh, my instrumentation is exceptionally fragile.
Hmm.
K3 soak is a mighty two.
We shall endeavor not to anger it. But come, let us continue looking.
Hop, hop, hop.
Okay.
If I may suggest, anger is not the emotion that we should be fearing. Oftentimes, these sorts of animals respond more readily to fear or perceived aggression from competitors like ourselves. In short, it may be as afraid of us as K1 is of it.
And everything else. I would like to note, however, that my physical appearance does not denote competitor.
So we're all harmless here, but not prey.
No, harmless is... never mind, K1.
Okay.
In many biospheres, the general structure of my chassis would suggest an arachnoid or possibly insectoid predator. So depending on the origin of this feline, I may be perceived as a potential threat or a potential food source. Hmm.
I'm liking this less and less.
I would like to not be first in line.
And K1 will actually rather valiantly for her kind of like scoot K3 a little bit further back and we'll put herself between K3 and the potential predator. That might be
and
down the
3B
tunnel.
Will keep leading.
That's fine.
Kapla!
I want like fan art now of 3B with like the wharf like bandolier and like a batleth.
Yeah.
And an eeny meeny little batleth.
I mean, 3B is the most decorated. That's why 3B's in charge.
He does have a collar and a tag.
Yep. The most decorated. We don't have any of those things.
You have probably serial numbers or something.
Yeah, K1, okay. K3, they're not very long.
Okay, everybody. We need to stick together. We need to drive that cat back to Vrebo.
Ben, I would like to attempt to lead.
You are wanting to lead.
Yes. So, leading, if you have time with... well, I guess we're not kids. The rest of your group, though, you may inspire and prepare them for a difficult situation. You roll to overcome trouble, and your successes become a dice pool that in the upcoming scenes can be distributed as bonus dice to the other kids when they roll to overcome troubles, but only if they do as you say. You cannot give these dice to yourself.
Okay, that sounds fairly practical, considering the pause and discussion thing. Sure.
For listeners, trouble is basically just the Tales from the Loop word for test or check.
Good to know. For listeners, yeah.
Could we argue that my iconic item of my my translang translator, audiovisual translator, is in play here since I am communicating among these different languages?
I could go with that. Yeah, sure.
Only because Ben is very nice.
Also, it's not the easiest iconic item to use. So an iconic item, when it's in use, grants, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, it's two bonus dice, right?
I believe it's two, yeah.
So three heart and one lead plus the iconic item brings key one up to 66. And I managed one success. So I will have two bonus dice I can distribute to 3B and K3 in the next scene.
And thusly we round the corner.
And thusly you round the corner to the miniature hydroponics cabinet.
Vistrano's hydroponics cabinet?
Yes. The playset looks like the vent is actually hidden in behind the bench that Vistrano put in. So it's not very obvious if it ever is opened, and it looks like the top hinge to it is very well oiled. So as, like, 3B noses it open, can't detect that at all.
We should check this out.
After you.
3B's already in.
Vistrata was fiddling in here before they left. Must see what they've done.
Looking for vegetables.
I'm going to draw myself away from the greenery. Do I see any evidence of our current quarry?
Actually, yes. Yes, you do. You see it in a corner next to the exterior door. This hydroponic bay is in a, like, the closet right next to Vistrano's quarters. Normally, in a normal ship, this would be a place where, like, cleaning stuff would be stored, or, like, extra parts or something. In this case,
we don't need cleaning stuff.
Are you saying our ship isn't normal?
Yes. Yes, I am. so, like, that is normally what would be here. In this case, Vistrano's cleaned that stuff out. It's now generally in the cargo bay. And, like, you've got the hydroponic racks here. You've got, like, the cage over it. It's set up so that it can handle actual high-intensity movement.
And creature?
Creature, like, there's the door out into the hallway, and then the creature is on the ground, sort of back-arched in the corner next to the door.
It's looking at me, 3B.
It's looking at all of us, K1.
I would like to empathize.
Peace, creature. We mean you no harm.
There's a 23% probability that its vision is based upon movement. If we remain very still, we shall be invisible.
Okay, don't move.
So you are making a skill check, Leslie?
I would like to empathize, because as I understand it, you told me it helps me kind of figure out what's going on with the other creature, potentially offering weak points or points of leverage.
That is correct.
All right.
So I just do that?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
And then we also have the two bonus dice. You can pull one from if you need it.
I'll risk it. I shouldn't have.
You do have luck points.
What does luck point mean? That I get to reroll one?
You get to reroll all of them, I believe.
I think so. I think it's any number. I think it's any number that you want. I don't think it has to be all of them.
Yeah, in case you want to go for more successes, I think you're right. So,
guess what? I didn't have any.
Okay. So, no dice on either attempt.
Well, the problem is there's 12 dice.
Well, yeah. And all of them betrayed you.
I think you can also, if you want rerolls, take a status?
Correct. You can take a condition. Which...
Yep.
A condition is something like being scared or injured or angry, and it does minus one from any other dice check you make, though, for the rest of, or until that condition is healed. So it is a bit of a risky situation. There's also nothing stopping you from continuing to burn the luck points up until you are out of them.
I will try one more.
Okay. Do you want one of those bonus dice now?
No.
Okay.
By my own hand or none.
There you go.
Yeah. Shortly after K3 says vision is based on movement, you know, 3B is like, I've got to get closer. So he had been on the ledge that surrounds the glass, and then had hopped up higher for a better vantage point, and then has hopped down lower and is now on the main level again, looking down at the cat, ears up, twitching. Oh, I got two successes.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
You did. So you...
So I picked two questions from the list?
Yeah, you get two questions, but you actually get a third question because you had the extra success, and you can take plus one die on one roll when you use the information you gain from asking that question.
Okay. I would like to start with, what does she want? Or it. They...
Yeah, they just use female pronouns on the thing here.
The cat, you can tell, is confused at what's here. Like, this isn't... From, like, you can tell, this cat thinks that this isn't the ship that should be here. That the ship that they're normally that they were expecting to be here and expecting to get onto, this isn't it. It looked kind of like it, but now none of the smells are right, none of the people are right, and there's a lot more small things on here. It's like, and now the cat is kind of think like, the cat's wondering, like, what happened to the ship that they've been calling home?
What will she do if I try to communicate?
You can tell that she seems to feel that she's a bit trapped right now. That she'll probably talk to you, but whether, like, they're really a trapped cat. So they have their backup and everything. Like, just, yeah.
So she's ready to run.
Yeah. Like, right now, not seeing a direction to go because you've got the big ball thing and the spider thing in the way of the Macquarie tube. The door's not open. And, well, they're probably getting close to trying to fling themselves at what they think is a door opener. But they're not quite sure if they can make these ones work.
We need to scare it back towards Rebo.
We do not need to scare it.
K1.
Well, that was your idea. You said that.
K1, try the universal greeting.
Hello.
No, not that one. That's not the universal greeting. What are you doing?
Been hanging out. Brandon, I don't remember what that is. Although I feel like I should. So now I've got to look up Transformers the movie.
What?
This is a reference.
Ba weep grana weep nini bong.
There you go, Brandon, just for you.
I can die happy now.
Ba weep grana weep nini bong.
Transformers the movie. It's a thing.
No, that's,
I mean, we are on a junk planet. This is very appropriate.
Yeah, to be sure, actually, your deliveries were also pretty on point.
But no, 3B literally just repeated it back and looks over like, that's a thing?
I suggested we frighten it when I believed it was just a mere animal. She has more to her than this. Perhaps we should communicate.
Does she have a tag like me?
I'm gonna go with no. Doesn't look like there's a tag. Does look like there's a collar, though. Doesn't look like... it looks like where the D-ring would go, the... extra stitching for that would keep the D-ring on has come loose, and it's just sort of a flap there. It's only attached on one side.
Okay.
Perhaps we should comfort it. K3, how do we do that?
One moment while I access my databanks.
And now I'm just sort of thinking, like, K3 getting up on their hind pincers, making big movements.
I don't know if there's a roll I can make to know how to make it calm.
Maybe that could be a comprehend, since we just took in new information.
Yeah, that actually does make sense.
Comprehend is probably the best.
That does make the most amount of sense.
We can make sense.
Don't get used to it.
Oh, trust me, I won't.
Nope, luck point? Okay, I'll take one.
Alright. So, yeah, you're relatively sure that if you are calm with the cat, that you're, and just try and talk to it calmly and not try and scare it, it will probably sort of stress itself out and calm down on its own when it sees that there isn't anything major going on. When it doesn't feel that it has to be on the defensive anymore, it'll start calming down. Or, yeah, like, charming, it could work.
3B, why don't you calm it down?
I suppose I shall try. I have some familiarity with such creatures.
We still have 2 leadership dice if you want to take one.
Alright, I will take one, and I will, I guess, roll a heart charm. It's about as good as you expect it to be, friends. I want to be friends with this kitty. I'm using a luck point. They're all going to be gone very soon.
Oh man, then the kitty can become your iconic item.
Just sort of thinking, alright, yep.
Bam. So, 3B hops down from the table, and ooches forward very gently, nose kind of twitching, and he cocks his head to the side and says,
"How may we help you?"
I'm working on it.
I'm going to see if I can't translate kitty noises since I can translate bunny noises.
Can you, or am I just speaking?
I don't like to think about that.
Existential uncertainty.
Can you please get a calculate check?
Sure. Now, this is obviously using my iconic item. My yes. calculate is tech, so it's 5, 3, so that'll be 10 dice for me.
Dad gum!
This is what K1 does! And I have one success out of that.
But you have one success.
Calculating. Processing. Processing. Ding!
Processing!
Why? Who are you? What are you doing on my ship? Oh no. Is this my ship? Oh no.
Why, my name is K1, this is K3, and this is 3B. We are residents of this ship. The ship's name is the Sky on Fire. What is your name? What ship are you looking for? Maybe we can help you get home.
I'm Thaddeus the Fourth, and I am normally on the ship Hyperspace is Blue. A ship much like this one, but it at least is the same designer, for many things look familiar, but not. It's so much larger than the one I was expecting.
Well, Thaddeus, maybe we can find your lost ship. K3 is quite adept at accessing computer systems. K3, do you think you could find out where the Hyperspace is Blue is presently docked, or if it is on this planet?
Yes.
Please do so now.
All right. That one also is going to be a calculate.
I actually did not put quite as many points into this as K1 did, but close.
There's still one more leadership die, too.
I'll take it. So that'll put
and
me... And
you're also like a younger droid.
Yeah. Actually, can I interface with a... Can I go somewhere to interface with, like, the shipyard computer system?
I'm figuring that would actually be accessible, like, through the normal power lock or power connection.
Sure, that's fine, too. I'm just trying to look for a way to use my iconic item, which is a vintage Scomp Link.
Oh, like, you can absolutely go into the Scomp Link port inside this closet, then, yeah.
Okay, I will do that. Hey, that's
nice.
On 11 dice, 4 tech, 3 calculate, vintage Scomp Link. 2 successes.
Yes, you are able to find out that the Hyperspace is Blue is in a nearby landing port or landing bay, and it looks like the registration for it has been recently re-upped in the spaceport. It looks like it at one point had used this, but it went away and then it came back, and it's now it is in a hangar bay 2 down.
Good news. The vessel is merely in a nearby docking port. It appears that they left, and we took their parking space.
Oh, that's convenient.
To reach the vessel, you must merely leave this ship, travel 37.1 meters due north, bear north-northwest, approximately 18 degrees. Travel 109 meters in that direction. If you reach the... like taxi queue, you have gone too far.
Okay. We can get that far, right?
Is K1 volunteering?
Well, I mean...
K1, I'm very proud of you for suggesting that we escort Thaddeus to her ship.
Well, actually, it is scary out there. There are slavers.
To a droid, basically everybody's a slaver.
And that security droid was telling us about other threats to ships and individuals here. We can't leave the ship!
K1?
Yes?
I'm very proud of you for suggesting that we escort her back to her ship. We should.
No. We shouldn't do that now. That's very, very dangerous.
I think 3B is already probably hopping back as K1's protesting.
3B has hopped back up to the table, and from the table has hopped across to the door and hit the button to open it.
Okay, and then the place where I'm going to end this episode is, as 3B is opening the door, there's Vrebo trying to launch forward with the cargo netting to try and capture the cat.
Oh!
No!
And accidentally stepping on the cargo netting as they're reaching up with it, thus tripping, falling, and then trapping themselves in the cargo netting.
Oh, gosh.
All the while laying across the threshold of the door.
Hello, Vrebo.
Hello.
We're going to escort the cat back.
Okay.
Perhaps you should take more daily physical training. We shall return.
Hop, hop, tail wiggle.
Each of us in turn, like, hops over top of Vrebo, crawls over top of Vrebo, flies over top of Vrebo.
And as everybody's, like, gone off out of frame, even the cat's kind of minced her way around, like, not really wanting to step on him, 3B sticks his head back in and says,
"Take care of the ship."
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
I'm Brandon, and I'm on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
I'm Christine, and you can find me, or K1, on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 1-2-T-H and a K. And if you want to hear more from me, you can check out my other podcast, The Glass Dagger, a D&D 5e actual play podcast, over at CompleteKnight.com, also Knight with a K.
And I'm Leslie, and you can't find 3B with me because 3B stays with Vrebo. But you can find me at LeslieGS, you know, if you want.
We are all at TheHydeanWay.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on Apple and Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way, and you can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you can donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway. Or you can find Brandon and me at Enterprise Club, at all of your fine podcasters.
It's like coming home getting to say the Patreon thing again. It's a lot easier to say.